Welcome to Talos Takes, the security podcast for everyone from the C-suite to the front lines.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Talos Takes. Today I am joined by Taryn from the Talos Incident Response Team. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
So today we're going to be talking about the practice of sideloading apps and allowing third-party app stores on mobile devices. The reason why I was personally interested in this is because I was reading about how in the EU, as of like this year, there's now third-party app stores on Apple devices, which was not previously the case. And there's certainly a positive case to be made here for consumer freedom and consumer choice, which is why the EU wanted to implement this. But it also opens some potential security loopholes, in my opinion, and that's kind of what I'm here to talk to you about today. So can you kind of start out just by telling me more about your history of working with security on mobile devices and how that kind of plays into some of the engagements you've had as part of Talos IR?
Yeah, of course. Getting into my kind of background in security, that's kind of my first entry point. So as I was growing up, more and more of the smart devices were starting. So jailbreaking iPhones, iPod touches, Android devices, that's where I kind of got started. So that kind of opened up the path of learning more about mobile architecture. Then through college, doing more focus around mobile forensics and learning that jailbreaking was actually part of that process. So that helped kind of complete the circle in terms of my experience. And then through work, SAN certifications, just kind of rounding out that experience and making sure that I'm up to date. With Talos IR, we certainly don't come across them all the time, but when we do, they require a level of special attention. So that's kind of why we need that expertise there to make sure that if it does pop up, even if it is rare, we know kind of how to handle it and what the best practices are.
So what sort of security protections come at a base level of using the app store that comes with your device? You know, like for Android users like myself, I'm a green bubbler. It's the Google Play Store or on Apple, it's just the Apple App Store. You know, when the average user goes on to those stores, what can they kind of expect from a base level of protection and security?
Yeah, and it's definitely improved a lot in the last few years. Before, it definitely was just kind of publish a specific type of file, those applications, but now there's much stricter standards. There's a lot more scanning for malware and just odd activity that just happens in the background and even after you've installed something on the device. So I think just because those vendors have so much access into the operating system as well as the App Store, they can see more. And that kind of enhances their protections, make sure that they can understand what applications are actually trying to do. And one thing I've kind of noticed is just the verification of vendors. Obviously, when you go out on the internet, it's kind of Wild West in terms of who you're actually getting things from. So when someone claims to have an app, if it's coming from an app store, you kind of have a little bit more confidence that it is truly from them. I mean, I think that's going to be the biggest change we're going to see is whether you can identify that yourself or if those third parties are doing something similar.
Why is sideloading apps a potential security issue? And for those who might not know, when I say the term sideloading, it basically just means getting an app on your phone from not one of those app stores that I just mentioned. Usually, you know, you might go to a web page to download an EXE or something like that. But basically, it's anywhere that you're getting an app that's not one of those official app stores. So what are some of the potential security pitfalls that come with that? And I don't want to ask you to be like an Apple spokesperson or anything like that. But that was essentially their argument to the EU as to why, like, oh, it's just the Apple App Store on iPhones because of the security concerns that come that it potentially opens if you allow the ecosystem to allow its sideloading.
Yeah, I do think that it does provide a kind of new method. So previously, in order to sideload an app into, you know, an Apple device or something similar, you'd have to jailbreak it or get that kind of deeper level access. So now I think it just removes that additional step that an adversary might need in order to be able to sideload an application. And I think a big part of it is just being able to validate, again, where are these apps coming from? Are we trusting people to actually get them from the proper sources? A lot of it, I think, is just coming down to whether that source is accurate and if that's a source that other organizations want to use. Since everyone uses the App Store, that's where you're going to find most applications. So are they going to support an app that they publish maybe on their website or something else in the future?
So if somebody who's listening to this does want to sideload an app onto their phone for one reason or another, like let's just say hypothetically speaking, because this is kind of at the core of all this, is a lawsuit between Epic and Apple with Fortnite. Say you really want to get Fortnite on your phone and you can't go through the App Store to get it. What are some ways that you could ensure that you are downloading a legitimate app? Are there any like checks that users can run on their own, or what other sort of like things should they have on their checklist to know that what they're doing is not going to give them a piece of malware or something?
Yeah, I think it's going back to really how we deal with just laptops, so making sure you install things from proper places, looking for the small things like what domain is this actually coming from? What's their reputation? You know, if someone is sending you a link, who is actually sending that to you? Where is that being hosted? And one thing I know it's very nice to look for, especially when it comes to applications, is how easily can it be changed? You know, is it being published on a website that someone could just upload a new version themselves very easily? Or is there some kind of verification process? Is it truly an app store that they would have to go through a process to upload that new application? And even after you install it, I think one of the biggest things you want to look for is permissions. Luckily, the way mobile devices are designed, they can't often execute many things without having that permission from the operating system and the user. So making sure that you know what kind of permissions are being added. So if you get a flashlight application, it's asking you to look at all your files. That's probably something you want to take a step back and make sure that's something you actually want. And I think a lot of people just don't realize that you can remove those permissions at any time. Once you go back into the app and if you think it's something you don't need, you could remove it. And then obviously looking at what they're actually asking for and making sense of what the application's purpose is.
And next, I want to cover third-party app stores, because I'm curious if this has really been any sort of a vector that is a real concern for us as far as defenders go. Because at least for me personally, when I'm looking at it from the outside, I would think it would be way more work for somebody to try to get their app onto a third-party app store than it would be to just like send a really good spear phishing email with a link to an attacker-controlled webpage or something like that. So are there any additional security concerns that come from allowing third-party app stores onto devices? And is that something that we've even seen attackers try to leverage?
Yeah, it's definitely not common. I'm sure it's happened at some point in the past, but I wouldn't say it's the primary method. Like you mentioned, I think sending those direct links or a link to a website that they're hosting themselves, that's where you're going to see most of that activity. But what we do kind of see is often the impersonation attempts. So someone claiming to be a legitimate app, but published on a completely separate store and saying that, you know, this is where you can get this version of this app or a cracked version of the app that allows more features. That has certainly been done in the past as a way to kind of get that malicious activity. And in a lot of situations, what we see is they're using legitimate apps just for bad purposes, just like we see everywhere else. One common method we see is mobile devices, once they're first pop, they'll be trying to gain that persistence. So they'll try to set up an SSH server on the server or on the phone itself. That way they can get back into it. And, you know, setting up an SSH server is not inherently wrong. Researchers use it. A lot of people use that as a way to interact with their mobile devices, but that's the type of things we often see them retrieve from those third parties. So that's kind of like that first check we'll do is if they have a third party, it usually means there's another tool that they want from that third party app store that might be a legitimate tool.
And lastly, I just kind of want to close out with just anything else that you're following on the mobile threat landscape right now. Obviously, you know, as you said, this is something that you actively track and are interested in. So I'm just kind of curious about anything else that you're looking at, and whether these new rules in the EU have really opened any sort of a new landscape, you know, that you're looking at.
Yeah, nothing entirely new. I mean, it really just kind of sets the field for everyone now where, you know, Android, this has been possible for years and years. So it's not necessarily a new or novel method that adversaries are going to be using. I think it's just going to open up that availability that adversaries might know, hey, if this phone's in the EU and has those restrictions, then this might be a new method we can get those applications installed. But from my experience, I would probably guess we're going to see a lot more around kind of the social engineering type of tactics rather than actually sideloading apps. I think you'll see a lot more messages from adversaries asking you to install their app or to install, you know, a Facebook app that they have created themselves, something similar to that. So I think that's really where we're going to see more of an uptick rather than the actual direct sideloading, since that's always been a challenge for adversaries. But removing this step does give them at least slightly easier avenue.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time, Taryn, for coming on the show and for volunteering to talk about this topic. Appreciate it, and hopefully we can find something else to have you on for.
Of course, anytime.